Hello, and welcome to this edition of Let's Talk Fleet Risk, a podcast for those who manage drivers and their vehicles and want to reduce road risk in their organisation. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk Fleet Risk. My guest for this episode of the podcast is Peter Golding, who's the founder and managing director of fleet management software specialists, FleetCheck. Peter, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Simon.
Now, a little known fact is that FleetCheck was actually the first commercial organisation that partnered with Driving for Better Business. When I started as campaign manager way back in 2016, I wanted to create a useful online resource that would help engage our audience of fleet safety managers. I'd already known Peter for a few years by then, and the new FleetCheck had created an online fleet management questionnaire some years previously, but it wasn't being heavily promoted and needed updating. Peter and I rewrote the questions, FleetCheck's IT team did the programming for us, and we relaunched it as the Driving for Better Business Gap Analysis in partnership with FleetCheck. It's now been through a couple of major updates since then, but that our current gap analysis still has that original work at its core. So, Peter, you've always put helping fleet managers in this type of way at the forefront of the FleetCheck ethos. So where does that come from?
Well, Simon, yes, thank you. And I appreciate, obviously, the opportunity of being on this podcast. For me, I suppose it sort of started from my 10 years at the beginning of my career working within the main dealer network and experiencing from the service sector, but really predominantly from 15 years worth of experience of running my own garages. During that time, I've come across hundreds and hundreds of businesses who we supported. It was obvious we were very essential to them maintaining their fleet. What I identified from that, really, there are literally tens of thousands of businesses out there who really are unaware of the challenges they have. My industry, albeit there are some very good software solutions out there, they were very much geared 16, 17 years ago when I started, and still today, around the larger fleet operators. And at the heart of what we wanted to do, what I wanted to do with FleetCheck, is be the voice of the SME to build something really designed for the small to medium-sized fleet operator. We focus mainly on the commercial vehicle fleet, so we look at the vans and truck side, but especially the van side, because it's the area that often is ignored. And I wanted to create something that was intuitive and easy to use, and really to help a sector that were ignored, in my opinion. And now I'm delighted to say we are the leading provider of support to the SME of fleet operators in the UK.
Yeah, and I can vouch for that, because prior to DFBB, I ran two small fleets, one with just a handful and then a second company which had about 10 to 12 cars. And this information just wasn't available to me at the time. I wasn't aware of the responsibilities, and it was very difficult to find that help and support. And what you've just been outlining would have been hugely helpful to me in both of those roles. But another project we worked together on more recently, probably a couple of years ago now, actually, when we originally launched it, is the Fleet Confidence Challenge, which is a free online course, contains over 30 short videos in three modules. I think it takes just under a couple of hours to get through all of them. The first module tells the story of a van driver that's involved in a serious incident with a car driver and a cyclist. And it goes on to examine where both the driver and the employer were at fault. And we used this scenario as the basis for a mock trial presentation that we did just last month, mock trial prosecution of a company safety manager. Why did you want to create the challenge, and why did you ask us to get involved?
Well, so why? I think one of the biggest issues is the individuals that often operate fleet, some of them in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they have an interest in vehicles. They've been given the job of fleet or vehicles, the management of the drivers, alongside their other roles. So what we have there is a challenge where the businesses that rely very much on these vehicles are being managed by somebody who isn't necessarily have the formal training that's required or hasn't got the time available to be able to properly fully understand the implications. What I wanted to do was to create something intuitive and easy to engage with, and relevant to the sector we were talking to. I mean, there's been some fantastic work that's been done previously, and I've seen information that can be associated with some very serious situations. Obviously, the corporate manslaughter issues were very prevalent and still are. However, it doesn't necessarily apply to every sort of day events. And the challenge we wanted to create was something that every single business could easily at any point experience. And why the DFBB? Well, as you've already said, Simon, delighted with the work we've done with you over so many years. And it seemed a really good fit to be working with you and creating something free of charge that was really a help to educate fleet operators, and as I say, maybe not necessarily trained, who can maybe look at the sort of scenario that they could experience and identify perhaps the areas that they may not have initially have thought about. So that was really at the heart of it, to provide an educational tool that was free of charge and easily accessible to anyone who wanted it.
And it's an interesting point about the sort of distinction between fatalities and injuries. Obviously, with the very, very big fleets in the country, it's a statistical likelihood that they will have to deal with fatalities at some point, often more than one a year. But with the majority of companies with a sort of small or medium-sized fleet, that's possibly something they'll never experience. But the scenario we picked was about an injury collision with a cyclist. And We used that to our advantage with the mock trial, because there was a recent introduction of a new offence, which is causing serious injury by either careless or dangerous driving, depending on the severity of the offence. And so that makes it much more realistic to fleets, doesn't it? Because according to government statistics, there's about 40,000 a year of those.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the important parts of it. I think when you look at the very small number of prosecutions for the very, very serious accidents which escalate to the courts, if you look at serious injuries, I mean, you know, and I think, as you say, it's in its thousands, but almost every business you talk to, even the smallest one, will have a driver running into the back of somebody at some stage or reversing into a post or maybe having a complaint from the general public. We wanted to make it real. And as you say, I think the headline interests really were the very large corporate events, activities where, but this is really designed to make it relevant to anybody, regardless of the size of the fleet that they're operating.
Now, obviously, I've mentioned this mock trial presentation we did a couple of times now. It was at a 3-day health and safety conference, and we've got a video of that session now available on the DFBB website. It's under the events tab at the top. Look for health and safety event 2023, and you'll find that there. But the purpose of that session, Peter, was to highlight the importance of accurate and reliable record keeping. So why is that so important in your view?
Well, I think it's when you what you have to be able to recognise is you need to be able to demonstrate to the authorities that you're running a safe and legal fleet. And so many of the businesses we talk to, and now almost the majority of those that we support and help, are really relying on spreadsheets, fragmented data that may be on whiteboards, commonality of many other similar areas. And a lot of what we try to do is to sort of give companies that confidence that they can rely very much on remote access to data that's a holistic view of what they're trying to do, rather than looking at these fragmented way. Often businesses we'll talk to have got leased vehicles with maintenance. And there's a misconception within a lot of fleet operators that we talk to, because they lease these vehicles and maintenance is provided as part of the lease, is that the leasing company themselves are responsible for record keeping. They're responsible for proving that these vehicles have been maintained correctly. And what we reinforce with them. If something awful did happen or they had a serious event, the vehicle that wasn't properly maintained, it would be them in court, not the lease company. So having records, having accurate information that you can be confident you know what needs to be done and when it needs to be done, you can only do that with a robust audit trail, and it should stand up. And if companies are investing in spreadsheets and investment in time is where we're looking at it, you are massively exposed if data could be deleted or easily corrupted within that format.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of sort of key points to reinforce there is that while you can delegate the management of that risk, i.e. the maintenance of the vehicles to the leasing company, you cannot delegate the ownership of the risk. The company always has sort of the ownership and the responsibility to make sure that risk is managed. And it kind of, it doesn't matter what you did to manage that risk. What matters is that you can prove you did it, doesn't it? Which is why record keeping is so important. So what are the key things that you think records need to be kept for? Those responsible for driver and vehicle safety, what should they be making sure that they accurately record?
Okay, it's a really good question, Simon. And I think, in fairness, the sort of what we work with business on to start off with is get the essentials done first. It can sometimes feel that there's an awful lot they've got to do and they don't know where to start. So our recommendation is, exactly as you said, drivers and vehicles, let's just focus on the fundamental requirements first. I mean, you should be confident that those, both the vehicles and the drivers, are legal, and you can demonstrate that by appropriate record keeping. So the areas that is on the prerequisite for drivers, for example, would be license check-in, medical records, training information. Are they competent to drive the vehicles that you're putting them in? Incidents is something that happens so often that businesses are not recording information on. I'll give you an example, complaint from the general public. We had a scenario, I won't say who, but it was a driver who was going the wrong way round a mini roundabout. It was in Swindon. If anyone's been to Swindon, you'll understand it is an experimental town with roundabouts. But this particular driver was going the wrong way, and the general public sort of shook their sort of shouted at the driver, and the driver flicked the V's back in a sign-written vehicle. Well, to give you an example on that one, they reported, the pedestrian reported it to, they wrote to the directors, but he also copied Wiltshire Police in, and Wiltshire Police arrived and wanted to know what the event was, had they recorded it, what actions had they taken from it. And I think something as innocent as a complaint from the general public or a speeding event or parking events or reversing into a post, these things should be recorded. And looking at trends, a lot of businesses invest in telematics, and they can be frequent occurrences where you get speeding and things like that again. So driver incidents, high-risk drivers are a key issue. Fitness to drive, are your drivers turning up to work and they drive? Are they fit to drive? And they should be done every time. Every time they get in the vehicle, there should be a way that they can confirm that they're okay to do it. And the vehicle side, well, I mean, this is a big subject, and I'm only going to skirt over some of the areas, but all the fundamental stuff, the road tax, the MOTs, the servicing. But probably the area that I, as an engineer, as an authorised examiner in my previous life, defect management is quite close to my heart. And if companies are, and a lot of businesses sadly don't, make sure the drivers are doing regular safety checks. It's not just the inspections that the driver has done and defects there. The other area that we do need to look at and we need to be particularly careful of is advisory notifications that come through. So if you're talking about recording information, it could be MOT records coming through. You know, you get advisories from there. It could be advisory notifications coming through from the garages to do with letting you know that the vehicle will need maintenance. It may be in 6 months' time, but you combine that with some of the equipment fitted to vehicles, Lola inspections. There's a myriad of things across the board. And this is why I'm saying, let's start off gently. Let's get the basic stuff first, But this really does illustrate why I said earlier about spreadsheets are an inadequate method of recording such an enormous range of data that's required.
I've brought this up in a couple of conversations recently, but an example that illustrates that very well was the Glasgow bin lorry incident, where the driver had heart trouble while he was driving and crashed, killing a number of people. But Glasgow Council were exonerated of any blame because they were able to prove they'd done all the relevant checks. There was nothing they couldn't reasonably have done that they hadn't done. They'd done everything reasonably practicable to ensure that the driver and the vehicle were safe. And so the driver was held fully responsible for that, and his employer, by dint of their exceptional record keeping and safety procedures, were in the clear over that, which I think is probably what all of our audience would be hoping for.
Well, quite. But I think I said earlier, a smaller enterprise, you know, something that doesn't have that infrastructure that Glasgow Council had in place could easily have fallen foul and failed to have asked the appropriate questions or have the audit trail necessary to prove that, you know, that was being done. I mean, fitness to drive is something which, within our walk around inspection app, it's the very first thing that the drivers have got to say before they actually drive the vehicle in the morning. You know, are you under the influence of alcohol, drugs? Are you fit to drive? Is there any medical conditions that could impair you, you know, to drive in this vehicle? So it's not something they maybe do once. It's every single time they get in the vehicle.
And when we did our mock trial presentation, the fictional company that we presented in the court, they got a lot of things wrong. Where do you commonly see fleets make mistakes with record keeping?
Well, as I said earlier, I mean, and I'm going to reinforce this point, is to do with defect management and how there's often there's a lot of focus on trying to make sure that the drivers are completing inspections on vehicles and it's so they can prove there's nil defects on vehicles. The issue and why this is so important is not to prove that there's nothing wrong with the vehicle, it's when there isn't something wrong, it's been identified and tracked through. We've unfortunately heard of many cases before we get involved where drivers have complained that they're regularly letting the office know there's something wrong with the vehicle, but nobody actually takes any actions on it. So it is a matter of getting this data and doing something with it and ensuring really that they can prove beyond any doubt that the vehicle is not only being maintained in accordance with the manufacturer's service intervals, but the vehicle, and especially now, gone are the days with my days of garages that we would inspect a vehicle every year and you could be fairly confident that that vehicle would be maintained properly. Now the onus of responsibility is very much on the operator of the vehicle, not the garage. With extended service intervals of 2 years, 40,000 miles, it is the company's responsibility to make sure that the vehicle is legal. So on that side, the other area that we do see often companies fall foul on is license checking. Often they'll be quite vigilant at the beginning when the drivers first start, and they may well have the appropriate documentation and proof that they can drive. But this should be risk-based and it should be done on a regular basis, certainly minimum once a year. If they have more points, then it should be done more frequently. But we do see companies often assuming that they can just look at the plastic part of the license and, believe it or not, think they're fit to drive, or even actually use the national insurance details and their driving license number to go in and get the data from DVLA. That is something no company should do. It's a breach of the data protection security areas on that. And so every single company should really be careful to make sure that they're properly risk managing their drivers. And it's a criminal offence to drive a vehicle without a driving licence. So it's a fundamental requirement. And managing defects, just two of the highlight, you know, areas that I would say, Simon.
Managing defects, obviously we all know, without, if you're not going to deal with them, small defects can turn into larger defects fairly quickly. We've obviously got the cost of living crisis at the moment, and everything from vehicle repairs to fuel and insurance costs are going through the roof. So, you know, surely keeping proper track of fleet activity can make quite a significant contribution to cost control.
Absolutely. If you're talking about a very common advisory would be brake pads themselves that are getting low, and failure to replace those on time is means that you're having to have new discs, new pads, and the cost could be 3 to 4 times the amount, and not taking into consideration the downtime, unexpected downtime. And the last forecast I saw of that average between £700 and £800. And I've seen many companies where there's multiple drivers, where the cost of a vehicle being off the road for a day can be substantially higher than that. As far as the maintenance and management of that size is concerned, it's preventive maintenance. I'm always going to be an advocate of this as an engineer. We are seeing vehicles being kept on fleet a lot longer now than they've ever been. And there are critical events that need to be done. For example, a cam belt is something, if you've only had a vehicle for maybe 3 or 4 years and you've run it maybe up to 80 or 100,000 miles, these are things that you may never have actually experienced needing replacing. But a cam belt failure, if anyone's had an experience of that, in a lot of cases, you could actually write the vehicle off with the cost of a replacement engine. So these are preventative maintenance issues. But being reactive, proactive rather than reactive, can substantially reduce the downtime. And if you are relying on vehicles staying on fleet now longer than perhaps you've done in the past, you really do need to be looking at this very, very carefully indeed. It's a really important part.
Mm. Now, we often talk about fleet safety, and historically have assumed we've been talking to fleet managers, say, and a lot of fleet managers do have responsibility for driver safety, but a lot of them really only have responsibility for fleet as more of a procurement and a maintenance sort of role. And actually, we've sort of recently realised that a huge part of our audience is safety managers. They aren't fleet managers at all. They're safety managers, and driver safety comes under their remit. And research regularly shows that driver safety is consistently in the top three concerns for sort of safety professionals at all levels. So they understand the relevant legislation, which is the Health and Safety at Work Act, but they don't always understand how driver safety fits into that. So what would you think was the most important thing for them to focus on? They're not fleet professionals, but they're safety professionals with a responsibility for vehicles and drivers.
It's a good question, and one that I would say across all organisations we talk to is singly one of the biggest challenges, but it is communicating with the drivers. That's the number one thing businesses have got to do. If you're looking at the first step, it's creating, communicating and monitoring your policy and making sure that that is in circulation, that all the drivers are confirmation they've got it, receipt of they've got it, and any updates that are required to go through. So it is so often, you know, the focus on fleet is around what fleet managers are dealing with. But the single biggest challenge the fleet managers have got is the drivers and what they're doing. Telematics can play a part, but it only plays a part. It doesn't actually eliminate the responsibility. If anything, it heightens that requirement of looking at the data and making sure you act on it. It's very useful to prove where people are at certain times. So, for example, when there are events, you know, it could be an accident or something, it can exonerate the driver, that they can prove that the driver wasn't responsible. We talked already about safety checks. Again, as far as the fundamental requirements is making sure, we've seen this a lot because it's difficult to do. A lot of businesses have a policy to say that vehicles should be inspected, but they don't adhere to it and the drivers don't get chased. So they're really condoning that type of attitude. And if something awful happened, the drivers would say, well, yes, I know I've agreed to this, but nobody ever asked me for it. So I think it's really important that you're constant. And if there is a problem that people are not doing and what is actually agreed to, and let's be fair, everything to do with fleet management is common sense. You know, the vehicles need to be legal. You know, you cannot have a vehicle with tyres that are below 1.6 mil. We'd recommend no more than 2 mil, less than 2 mil, and often 3 mil is a far safer option. So these are common sense areas that companies should look at. So Can they all, with confidence, go out into a car park and look at every vehicle that they've got? And often the tyre companies will come and do an audit for you and to prove whether or not any of the vehicles have got illegal tyres on them. And I think that in itself is borne out by, I think the stats were over 60% of the tyres in tyre depots are replaced while they're illegal. I mean, how many of those could affect organisations that, you're talking to now? But I would finish it with one of the biggest problems that we do see, although communication is absolutely imperative. You have to have senior management buy-in. They have to recognize the importance. So there is that authority, there's that push. So when they are having drivers that are not adhering to what they should be doing and their focus is getting the job done rather than making sure the vehicle's safe, senior management should be supporting the fleet managers or the safety managers to give that strength there to make sure there's adherence to it.
My final question, Peter, is right at the top of the discussion. The first question, we were talking about how common it is for people to manage fleet activity and fleet safety on spreadsheets and paper-based filing systems. What are the main benefits that come from using a sort of proper integrated fleet management software solution over those traditional sort of paper-based systems?
Well, this question comes up quite a lot, and I often refer to what's happened in the world of accountancy. Is if you look 15 or 20 years ago, they were bookkeepers. They were actually manually keeping records, and this was a very labor intensive part. Nowadays, the HMRC have mandated that you've got to submit your returns electronically. And we're seeing a trend now towards this in the fleet industry. And really, we would expect to see within 5 to 10 years, this will be just the norm. If you are submitting defects, if any of your listeners are operating HGVs or heavy goods vehicles, and they may well be on the earned recognition scheme, well, as a prerequisite for that from DVSA, you have to submit electronic record keeping. You have to prove that the vehicles are being inspected correctly and the MOTs are being carried out correctly and the failure rates are appropriate and the vehicles themselves are checked for safety. So I think it's an inevitability. We've seen it in some respects where the road tax has been removed from screens many years ago now, driving license paper mandates disappearing, MOT records being computerized. So I think it's an inevitability. Digitalizing data is there. Why? Well, you can look at tasks, for example, fuel analysis is an area that we often will work with businesses on that may be spending 2 days a month actually pulling all the data across to try and prove what the consumption figures are, which we would definitely recommend everyone does. We can do that for them in a 5-minute report that literally takes as long to load the report and pull it through as it. So we can take 2 days' work. So there are massive benefits in time saving that I've not yet met anyone who's operating fleets that are. Time is one of the single biggest challenges they've have. Also, we talked about this. We touched on the cost of fleet. It's the second largest overhead outside of payroll often. Putting in controls into that, if you've got accurate record keeping, you can then start really running for meaningful reports so you can look at where savings can be made. We've talked about vehicles running for a longer period of time nowadays. So even more time and effort needs to be looked at as to which of those vehicles should stay on fleet, which ones shouldn't stay on fleet. But I think at the heart of what we're talking about today is this awareness and duty of care and health and safety implications. And what we do see with the hundreds and hundreds of companies that we work with and the thousands of vehicles we manage is this peace of mind that you have when you have got all of your information in a central database that's accessible remotely, and that assurance that if anything happens that you can very, very quickly verify what's been done and when it was done. So peace of mind, time saving, and cost savings, I would say, are the three main benefits that you get from the investment. And the return on that investment is very, very easy to show businesses very quickly and easily. But fundamentally, there is a legal requirement to manage your vehicles correctly. And I think from my side, often vehicles now are equipped very high standards of equipment with cameras, telematics, may have really high level racking on them. So the vehicles themselves are, you know, with all the right safety measures. Really, you should be giving the person whose job it is to manage those vehicles the tools to do it. And that's really what we do.
Fantastic. I would agree wholeheartedly with all of that. So in closing, I'll put some links to resources in the show notes for this episode. I mentioned that obviously FleetCheck and Driving for Better Business had collaborated on the gap analysis, which you can find on the DFBB website. I'll put a link to that. I'll also put a link to the Fleet Confidence course, FleetCheck's free online introductory course. I'll put a link to that in there. And as part of that, I think, Peter, you mentioned that one of the key points for people as a kind of a first thing was getting your driving for work policy written and communicated to drivers. And there's a free, fully editable driving for work policy as part of that Fleet Confidence course. So that could be quite interesting there. But Peter, thank you very much for your time today. Really appreciate you sharing your insights with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's very good to talk to you.
If you manage drivers and their vehicles and you face similar issues to those discussed in this podcast, there are links in the show notes to some useful resources on the Driving for Better Business website, and these are all free to access. If you enjoyed the conversation, please don't forget to hit subscribe so you know when the next episode is released. And please also give us a 5-star review, as this helps us to get up the podcast rankings and makes it more visible to others who might also find it useful. You can follow us, that's Driving for Better Business, on Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn. And most importantly, please help us to spread the word. All our resources are free for those who manage fleets and their employees who drive for work. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk Fleet Risk, and I look forward to welcoming you to the next episode.
Brought to you by Driving for Better Business.